There is an event that happens once every 28 years. And it's called the Feast of the Beast. All of the hierarchy of the Illuminati will celebrate this feast every 28 years. It lasts for 1 year. And there's a time period within that 1 year where they will come together and celebrate a feast like the Feast of Tabernacles. And during that celebration time, Satan will appear to these 13 families and tell them what he wants to have occur over the next 28 years. So this movement of the Illuminati is being spearheaded by personal visits from Satan. And he's given them the knowledge, the human wisdom, the satanic wisdom, the understanding of the things that they must touch to bring about the culmination of his kingdom. There's so much I could tell you. So very much I could tell you. And it's right here in the Bible. I'll just have you turn to one scripture. Turn with me to Daniel. Daniel chapter 2, verses 40 and 41. It says, "In the fourth kingdom, Rome shall be as strong as iron, since iron breaks to pieces and subdues all things. And like iron, which crushes, it shall break and crush all these. And as you saw the feet and the toes, partly of baked clay of the potter, and partly of iron, it shall be a divided kingdom. But there shall be in it some of the firmness and the strength of the iron, just as you saw the iron mixed with the clay." In this passage, the clay speaks of humanity. The iron speaks of the satanic realm. The kingdom will be partly human and partly satanic. What kingdom is he talking about? The one world order. Yes, that's right. Have I shared too much? Am I making you afraid? I don't want to make you afraid. I want to give you enough information that you are going to get on your knees and pray. But I don't want to make you afraid. Have I given you too much? Are you feeling fear? Good. "In the days to come, I've seen it. I saw it in a vision. And what I saw was the kings of the earth." You know how the Bible talks about in the days ahead, there will be 10 kings ruling the earth. "I saw the kings of the earth, and they were holding a television broadcast to the peoples of the earth. And beside each person was a principality. King, principality, king, principality, king, principality. And the whole world saw the kings, and they saw the principalities. They were given the power to manifest themselves. And it was to let the whole world know that the new world order was part spiritual and part human." In fulfillment of Daniel 2, God is going to need men and women like the mighty men of valor. And men and women highly developed spiritually, like Melchizedek, if he's going to confront what is developing. It's not enough just to get mad at our government because they're being stupid. the nation can rise up against them. And it will look like a Tiananmen Square. It isn't enough for the people of America just to get angry and raise up against the government. There has to be spiritual work done so that anything that happens in the natural can have value. What needs to be broken needs to be broken in the spirit first. That's what we are working on in our prayer times here. And that's what we do in our gatherings. We are working to break down the aggressions of these powers. But there is a way that it has to be done, and it has to be done by the strategy of the Lord. You cannot do it just because it sounds like it would be a really neat thing to do. Because some of the things that he has us do looks really stupid. I mean, if you're not sensitive, and if you're not intuitive, and if you don't understand the ways of God, it would seem like, what value could there possibly be to this or to that? And of course, there is no value unless you're doing it in obedience. Then he creates the value. It's like, you know, walking around the walls of Jericho. Could you imagine being there in Israel at that time, having some, you know, guy that's just taken over Moses' place telling you we're going to march around the walls of Jericho? And you're thinking, these walls are so big and so thick, and these people of Jericho are known for their military expertise. These people are crazy killers. And we're going to walk around in front of them, blowing horns. And I'm sure for a moment they must have wondered if God made a mistake. Was he punishing them, taking Moses and giving this young man his place? Others were probably praying a lot for Joshua. The directive did not seem to make any sense. You know, and the directive, and don't say a word. Shh. You're going to defeat them in silence. Right. Right, Joshua. Of course, everyone knows this kind of warfare. This kind of strategy has worked many times in the past. You're going to defeat crazy people who are well armed, who know military strategy very well, by silent marching. Right. So, you know, we look back and we watch the story unfold, but we get to see, before we really think about it, the walls come tumbling down. They did what they had to do in faith. But their obedience moved spiritual forces and hindered spiritual forces. Stopped powers from being able to function. It wasn't their ammunition, whatever that was back then, that kept that city secure. It was the wall that was guarded by spiritual forces. And God brought it all to an end and then sent his angels to bring the walls down. It was not man's battle, was it? It was God's. And that's what has to happen today. Things have gone too far. I was going to have Elizabeth put pictures on the overhead, and then I forgot. But I wanted to show you a picture of the White House. Just show it to you. And then I wanted to tell you, you see that? So just pretend like you see it. You see the White House? Sure is white and it sure is big, right? Illuminati. It is. Illuminati. Already. Then I wanted to show you a picture of the Federal Reserve as indicative of America's banking system. So just pretend like that's what you're looking at. This particular Federal Reserve is the one in New York because it's the most powerful. You see it? Big bank. It's Illuminati. And with it is the whole banking system of America. Your Bank of America, what do you have here? You have Region. Don't you have a bank? What? You have, oh, yeah, Chase, founded by Rockefeller. Who? Capital One. Your Capital One, your Chase Bank, your, don't you have a bank? Whitney? Whitney, you have Whitney Bank. You have Region or Regional or something like that bank. It's Illuminati. Every time you write a check from your account, you're writing a check that is in the bank, which is Illuminati. We're not headed in that direction. We're already there. You're writing a check to Winn-Dixie, and you sign it your name, and you've just written a check from an Illuminati bank. It's true. Well, the whole system is Illuminati. The whole system. It doesn't matter who fails and who stands. It's all Illuminati. I want you to understand how important this is. The Federal Reserve controls it all. And also the World Bank. And also the IMF. So you see the bank, it's Illuminati. The White House, Illuminati. What does that mean? The government is Illuminati. It isn't serving the Illuminati. It is Illuminati. Now, next picture. This is the picture. This is the picture of the Supreme Court. You all recognize it? See the many steps leading up to it? That person climbing the steps is the latest Supreme Court initiate. And it symbolizes the whole justice system across the land. It's Illuminati. It isn't serving the Illuminati. It is the Illuminati. Why are we so frustrated with the decisions that are handed down through our courts? Because it's the Illuminati. It is a group of people who are set on the destruction of America. Now, help me understand, please. I don't mean this literally because I need to be doing the one talking. But help me understand, please. I can't figure this out. Why do they want to take over this beautiful nation with all that it has to offer and destroy it? How does that make sense? And bring upon it a feudal society. You know, it's like going back to the old days of Europe, pre-Reformation. Hear it? Pre-Reformation. Hear it? Pre-Reformation. Pre-Reformation, Societies were futile and futile. They were futile, which meant that the elite ruled literally a nation of slaves. Everyone was enslaved to the elite. The richer kept getting richer, and the poorer kept getting poorer, and everyone was enslaved. There was no such thing as a middle class. Feudal society. Remember that word. Oh, I could go through so much. I mean, because we have learned so much over the years as God has kept taking us deeper. And we didn't ask for this. I promise you we didn't. We tripped upon this because he started talking to us, giving me names, dates, times, prophetically. Just showing me names, names of families, dates and times and things that they did. And we would go on the internet to see if any of it made sense and find on the internet exactly what he was showing me prophetically. I'd share it with my team and we'd all get on the internet together. Oh, well, there is a Rothschild and that and blah, 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 blah. And there is a Rockefeller and blah, 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 blah. I mean, you know, you're looking at someone who spent 30 years hidden away in God. I don't watch TV. I don't listen to radio. I don't know what's going on out there unless he tells me. I had no way of knowing this stuff except he started wanting this team to know it so we could deal with it. So we have learned so much about America's relationship with Europe, America's relationship with England specifically. And what we think it is, it isn't. It's entirely different. Nothing is as it appears. Please say that. Nothing is as it appears. Nothing. You have lived in an idealistic phantom fantasy. And it's been painted for you by the media, so that you don't get upset for what's happening behind closed doors regarding your future. It was incredible for us to find out what we found out. But Fred can confirm this to you. God has not spoken one single solitary thing to us that we have not been able to find it. It's real, and it's out there. And it is here in America. Okay, some of the major societies connected with the Illuminati, CFR, you're all familiar with that wonderful organization, right? Council of Foreign Relations. I was going to say Christian. Let me see. No. The Council of Foreign Relations. And now, you don't know how evil this place is. This organization, their thoughts, their plans, their purposes for America, how evil and how wicked it is. It would frighten you to know. And they are the ones that control everything that happens at the United Nations. It looks like the United Nations is controlling the world, right? Everything is being filtered in regarding the world through the United Nations. But who's really controlling the United Nations? The CFR. Who are members of the CFR? Well, Bush Sr. was a member. Most people who end up in the highest levels of government either are or have been part of the CFR. Now, not everyone who is connected to the CFR knows just how wicked it is. It's like all societies of this nature. Only the elite really know where they're going and what they're doing. So you have the CFR. The Trilateral Commission. Do you know what that is? Well, I would say that it's... Well, do you know what the Bilderbergers is? Raise your hand. Bilderbergers? You guys need to get on the computer. The Trilateral Commission, the Bilderbergers, these are organizations that are working day and night. Please say day and night. Day and night. Nations working together. The heads of nations working together day and night to bring about the one world government. Every decision that comes out of these organizations comes out to advance the one world government. And the most powerful of them all is the Bilderberger, which was started by a man who is Dutch and Rockefeller working together. They make the plans, and we find it implemented in our government strategies. You don't even know that our government is not being ruled by the people and for the people, but rather by the nations. The CIA. Now, maybe you're naive and you think the CIA is a wonderful organization. It's not. It's very dangerous. And they're not working for the good of America. They work in conjunction with the Jesuit order of the Catholic Church for world dominion. Of who? Not for America. For the Illuminati and the Catholic Church. And you also have, I read it for you earlier, the Knights of Malta and the Jesuits working in conjunction with the Catholic hierarchy. Now there are many, 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 you saw the pyramid. This is just but an inkling, a sample of what is going on in the Illuminati. Just a sample. Under this, under the scope of this is much, much more. This is a worldwide effort to bring about one world order. I'll never forget back in 1990 when the angel of the Lord came to me and he said to me, in the days ahead, if you are not a one world order man, you better be saved because you will not live. While the angel of the Lord was saying that to me, I didn't know that because I don't watch TV, I don't listen to radio, I'm not involved with all the media stuff. I had no idea that we were having a president spewing out the words. We're going toward a one world order. I had no idea. So I just innocently publish it in my book, and people think I've been watching the news. I wasn't watching the news. The angel of the Lord told me. And these are the people that are helping to make it happen. Before I tell you the rest of what I got to say, I want to say this. I talk to you all the time about pressing into God and becoming people of prayer. By their own confessions, they say there is nothing they fear more than the priesthood of the Christian church. Because they know that if the church prays, she can stop them. That's great power you have. Okay, you might want to write these down. You definitely want to get this CD. Their goals. Now, what I'm going to tell you from this point on is not something given to me by revelation. But a gentleman by the name of Lindsay Williams has rubbed elbows with the top echelon, the key people of the Illuminati for many, many years. He is a Christian pastor. He was sent by God to the Alaskan pipeline which is where he met them. They were so impressed with his work, they decided to be a friend to him. And they became such friends that they began to invite him into their secret meetings. So he got to hear with his ears what their plans were. Now, if that isn't the favor of God, I don't know what is. This man is a Christian minister. And they didn't care that he would tell the church what they were doing. Because they have this moral ethic that whatever they're going to do, they want you to know. Why do they want you to know? Because they know you're not going to do anything about it, and they want to show you how powerful they are. It's true. What have we done to stop them? It's an arrogance that has grown out of experience. Now, having told you that, this is the latest report. He kept iterating in the DVDs that we watched. Incidentally, we have purchased these DVDs. We're making them available to anyone that wants them. The only thing is, you have to be willing to listen to them. Don't get them if you're not going to listen. And don't listen if you're not going to do something about it. These are their goals. The abolition of all ordered government. The abolition of all private property in America. The abolition of all inheritance. The abolition of all patriotism. Now, isn't this interesting? The Lord told me in the very beginning, the very onset of the gatherings, he said, I want you to provoke patriotism in the heart of the church. And someone came against me over that very, very strong. There has to be a love for the country reborn in this nation. This land was given to you by God. It is his gift to you. What you do with it is up to you. You can give it to the elite if you want to. But God's desire is for you to become patriotic enough that you will fight for your nation. Yeah, well, we're citizens of a better city. And we are. But the Bible says, pray for your land. Pray for the city in which you dwell. Pray for those who are in authority over you, that you may live peacefully. God wants you to love your nation enough to pray for it and to fight for it. Of course, in a way that is legal. Abolition of all patriotism. There are four major foundations that were established in the earliest 1900s to burn patriotism, to destroy the truth about our history, to rewrite history, and develop and bring into the school system an ideology that is not of God. These foundations are the Rockefeller Foundation, the Ford Foundation, the Carnegie Foundation, and the Guggenheim Foundation. The Carnegie Foundation, Carnegie was actually approached by our government, not vice versa, and asked to establish a foundation through which they would rewrite our history books for the school system and develop the philosophy and ideology for a one-world government in the minds of our children. That tells me that in the earliest days of my education, I was being told a lie about the history of our country. That's a terrible feeling. And even just recently, in the last 10 or 15 years, they've started rewriting the history books again. These foundations are responsible for this. There are notes in the board meetings. You know, you have to take notes of your board meetings. And in the board meetings, their notes are history. They're evident where the board decided among themselves of the Carnegie Foundation that America will never come into the one world government unless we have war. And by that decided to create the need for World War I and World War II. Carnegie Foundation. This was handed back to our government and things began to sizzle. These foundations, you know, that make all these nice documentaries on television that makes everyone think they're so wonderful. They're evil to the core. And all of this is historical information. Abolition of faith. The abolition of the knowledge of God and the Holy Spirit leading, and in its place, materialism and science. Isn't that interesting? They want to take your faith and your capacity to hear the voice of God and to obey the Spirit's leading. And in that place, they want to hand you the gift of science and materialism. The media has been teaching you since you were a little bitty child to love materialistic things and to feel like you had to have stuff to be happy. Why? Because they don't want you depending on the Spirit of God. And they don't want you living by faith. When you get sick, they want you to go to the doctor. And they will charge you a tax if you don't. Or put you in jail if you refuse their serums. But what they don't want you to do is to rely on God. They have to destroy God to take this nation, and they know it. If the church believes in God, and if the church will live for God alone, they can't take America, and they know it. That's right. Abolition of love of family and the importance of family, and to promote abortion. These are their goals. Are you still with me? I know it's getting late. Can you stay with me just a little longer? The revolution of laws and the abolition of the Constitution. By 2012, and I've shared all this with you to give you this. By 2012, their goal, this is frightening. So get your faith up. I'm serious. It's going to take faith and action. Within 2 years, their goal is that you will not recognize America. Their goal is that Americans will be so poor that we cannot resist them within 2 years. Their goal is total devaluation of the dollar within 2 years. By 2012, They plan on inflation and major escalation of inflation. Oil prices, they want to keep around $50 to $70 a barrel, which, you know, I mean, it's good for our gas tank, but it's terrible for the economy. Their plans are to bring all this about by 2012 to align themselves with the Mayan calendar. After 2 years, their plan is that war will occur. The elite says they knew they had to remove God from schools and public life to win this nation. And they knew they had to take God out of the church if they were going to dominate America. They laugh at our apathy. Now, Lindsay Williams says when he was in those council meetings, they laugh at our apathy. They think Americans are absolutely stupid. They're taking our nation and we're doing nothing about it. They laugh at us. Now, most of what they plan, they do. But I will tell you this. Back in the early 50s, they planned on having all of this accomplished then. And it didn't work. God intervened. They planned on having it all accomplished in the early 1900s when they brought the Federal Reserve into America. God intervened. And I want to tell you, He's willing to intervene again. He is. When He came to me in that 3-hour visitation, He commissioned the work that we're doing for that very purpose. Not that we're the only ones that He's commissioned. He's commissioned others also to work toward God having the ability to spare this nation. Only 5 people in the nation have been commissioned toward this end. God wants to win, but He needs His church. It says, who has prepared and done this, calling forth and guiding the destinations of the generations of nations from the beginning? I, the Lord, the first, existing before history began, and with the last, an ever-present and unchanging God, I am He. They think their plans cannot be stopped this time. They gained so much ground through 9/11 that they really believe that they can be unstoppable. If they can just keep the church weathered down with media hype, media programming, media garbage, if they can keep you believing what they tell you through the media so that you are not on your knees praying, fasting, believing God for a change. If they can keep you in apathy, believing that things are going to just go along and go along and go along until things get so wrecked that they'll have to bring forth this supermind to fix things. But even then, things can be fixed. Even at the worst of the worst, they will give you the man of steel who can fix it. That's what they want you to believe. As Christians, they want you to believe that. That makes me so mad. I feel like David standing out there telling, you know, his brothers and the other men of Israel Who is this mangy beast mocking the army of the Lord? Who is this mangy beast mocking the God of Israel? Looking at the army and thinking, where is your head? Your military men. You've got the capacity to defeat this man. Why are you just standing around the edges, doing nothing, acting like you're terrified of a single human being? Does it matter that he's so tall and so big and so brawny and he has a mouth that really needs to be stopped? Where are you? Where are you? Where are you? Where is your walk with God? Where is your faith in the Almighty who gave this nation birth? Who are you? Are you really going to be defeated by Goliath? That's what I feel like tonight. We've got a church in this nation that can rise up in prayer and in fasting and in belief, trust in God. And we can bring this thing to a halt, not forever, but at least for this moment. Maybe for this generation, we can stop the approaching Goliath. We can stop this thing before 2012. We can. God will do it. If he can just get you to pray, if he can get you to fast and to believe and to repent, repent of your own sins and repent of the sins of the nation. I can go through scripture after scripture where God has said that if you want my help, you must humble yourself. You must pray. You must repent. You say, but why do you have to repent of the sins of the generations? Because it is the blood of the generations that we walk on this soil. It is the innocent blood that has been poured out year after year after year for 400 years that keeps the door open for the enemy to prevail. The only way to cleanse it is through repentance. And if we won't do it through repentance, God will allow it to happen through war. And if war won't get us to repent, he'll send us out to the nations of the earth. In a diaspora, it's in his word. It's a promise. This is how he'll handle it if we won't do what we need to do. I'm telling you, Goliath is standing in our field, and we've got to stop him through prayer and fasting, repentance, and intercession. We must, and we must do it now. We're holding a gathering in New York. We're holding another gathering in Fremont, just in the next few months. San Francisco. And we're going to hold a third gathering this year because God said to me, if you will be faithful to do these gatherings for me, if you will be faithful, I will send my glory to this nation. And with 10 years of intercession, we've seen, you know, uprisings of just a little bit of glory. I don't know if we should call any of it revival yet. But a little bit of glory here, a little bit of glory there, a little bit of glory here. We've seen the little spurts, the little fountains coming up because God is trying to encourage us and say, look, just keep praying and I'll give it all to you. Just keep praying. The church right now should be in travail. The church should be in travail. The church should be in the birthing travail because there is a move of God that is coming, where the great and mighty men of God are going to cross the land again, go from nation to nation, raise up a giant of an army, such as the world has never known. The sons of God are going to be at last revealed. The power and authority of heaven is going to be given to the earth. The church is birthing this, but are you birthing it? Are you praying? Are you weeping? Are you travailing? Are you fasting, saying, God, send the mighty ones. Send the mighty ones. Endow your church. Enable your church. Send the grace. Send the power. Send the authority. Give your church the maturity it needs to bring glory and honor to you. Are you praying? My dear friends, if you are not, you've got no one to blame but yourself if they win. They don't have to win. They don't have to win. They don't have to win. If you believe in God, believe also in prayer and its power. If you don't pray, their desire will come to pass, and we will not know this country 2 years from now. If we pray, we can do this, because God will honor his word, even now. It's not too late. It's not too late. There was a man who came to this country. His name was Dimitru Duneman. He was a Romanian. Some people love him, some people hated him. I don't really care. The man was a man of truth. And the message he brought to this nation was truth. The warnings were strong. He had angelic visitations, many of them. And in the earlier days, I sent him my information at his request. He read my book. He wrote back and he said, "I know that you know I'm giving the same message to the country that you are giving. And we must be faithful, no matter what the opposition." But back in those days, it was Dimitru, it was me, and it was David Wilkerson. We were the only three that I knew that were trying to warn this nation to get on its knees and all the things that were going to happen if we didn't. It's in my book, Prepare for the Winds of Change. So many of the things, even that is in that book, have come to pass. The things that he warned, so much of it has come to pass. And more is going to come to pass. The angel of the Lord told him that it would be, you know, the turn of the century. War would come to America if America didn't repent. When Jesus appeared to me, he told me he would forestall war until he had a great harvest in this nation if we would be faithful to lead the church in prayer and in repentance through the work of the gatherings. He would hold war off until the great move of God had a chance to harvest the souls. But he also warned me face to face. But if you do not do everything I tell you to do, everything within your power to fulfill the call that I put in your life, America will see war without revival. We've got no one to blame but the prayerlessness and the apathy of the church if our nation is destroyed in its present condition. I don't want you to be afraid. I want you to hear the message with hearts full of faith. Full of faith that you can make a difference. Because you can. Every prayer that goes up, God puts in a bottle. And on this issue, it goes in more than a bottle. It has to go in a great, big, huge chest. Every prayer that goes up, and when that chest is full of prayers, he will pour out the answer of salvation. He will intervene for a praying church. Now, if you're going to keep living for the world, keep loving the things of the world, you're not going to pray. Which is probably okay, because your prayers aren't of much value if that's the way you live. But if you want to let the world go and you want to be used by God, like David, to save this nation. God will hear your prayers. And he will answer. We are here in New Orleans because something has to happen here for God's overall plan. I was taken up to stand before saints, prophets from of old. Can God do this? Does he do it? Yes, it's in his Bible. It's in his word. That's the precedence. And these men told me that today, this was, I'd have to look at the exact date. It's in my journal. Today, the kingdom of God has come to earth. Not that the kingdom of God was not here before. That isn't what they were saying. But this thing that the church is birthing, God has released a dimension of it. And it was the foundational dimension upon which everything else will flow. But the church must continue in their intercession and give birth to this thing so that it doesn't get lost. You have no idea the power that is in your bosom because you belong to God. You have no idea how precious you are. You say, but I pray about so many things and I don't see anything good happening about all these things I'm praying. Faith. If you're praying, and if you're praying according to the will of God, he will bring these things to pass for you. Faith. He's stretching you right now. He's building you. He's strengthening you through all of your difficulties. He's building a temple of faith inside of you so that he can use you mightily in the days ahead. It's okay that troubles are here. It's okay. It's nothing to fear. God is near. He will not let you down. He's not going to let your back get pushed up against a wall and give you no way out. He's created you to be monumental in this hour. When David was out with his mighty men of valor, he wasn't living in a palace. He was living in caves. He had to learn that wealth had nothing to do with success. Only obedience to the direction of God. That is where success lives. It has nothing to do with earthly wealth, earthly position. It has nothing to do with any of that kind of stuff. David lived in caves and the world feared him. When he moved into the palace, he got himself in trouble. Because he forgot the lessons that he learned. It's not about the things that we want to lay at the feet of our problems. Oh, if I just had more money. Oh, blah, 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 blah. You know, if only I was just respected by, you know, the community, then I could do what I want to do. It isn't about any of that kind of stuff. Favor comes from the Lord. And if you have need of finances, God will provide. It may take him a while to get it to you, but he will provide. It's not about these things, but even if the money is not there, it really is not about power or might, but it is about my spirit, saith the Lord. It is about his spirit. What will you do to be endowed with power from on high? What will you do? What will you do? What price will you pay? Please, what will you do? Lord, I'll give anything. I'll do anything. Whatever it is you require, I'll give it to you. Only endow me with the heavenly authority. So that I can move in the power and authority that is needed to perform your will on this earth in this hour. That is what he wants to see in your heart.
Not that you're doing it for yourself, but you're doing it for the kingdom. David sounded so arrogant. He sounded like a little teenage kid with a lot of arrogance. But who brought Goliath down? The brothers that were standing back behind the line, shaking in their boots? No. The one in righteous arrogance. He, one man, did what a whole army couldn't do. That's what God is looking for today. People that will step out on the end of the branch and take a chance. Just obey. I don't know what your part is. I only know what my part is. But whatever he's told you to do, do. But please get out of the courts of the charismatic church and get on your knees and birth the church that is coming.
Amen. I'm so tired of the devil winning. I feel so desperate that God is going to have his heart fulfilled.